This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Mart, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here comes Alex Cora. And let's listen to the way Fenway sends off Chris Sale. A little bit mixed. Still hopeful that he can turn it around. Tonight wasn't his night. 5-1 Dodgers in the fifth.
I mean, I'm going out there in the fifth day and get my ass kicked. What do you think? It's not fun. Still working, still grinding. Not going to give up, but, it's tough. You're going out there every day being a liability for your team.
Been a few days since I've been in here. Obviously, I missed the show on Friday leading into the Dodgers series. I missed the show yesterday coming out of the Dodgers series, so that's where we're going to begin tonight on The Baseball Reporter. 617-779-0985. Now is a good time, to jump aboard because there was a lot to get to with this baseball team. We do have open lines, and boy, is there a lot to talk about with this team. The performance of Chris Sale, the overall performance of the team in the Dodgers series, the debut and the trade, or in reverse order, the acquisition and the debut of Andrew Cashner tonight over at Fenway Park against the Toronto Blue Jays, and the overall performance of the Red Sox this season, particularly as it pertains to the level of focus, for lack of a better word, the level of intensity, motivation, all of it, because, boy, has some of the base running been awful with the Red Sox here in recent days. Absolutely, positively awful. But we start with Chris Sale. And you heard the section of the broadcast series. He left the game the other night against the Dodgers. And it was a big moment. It was a big game on Saturday night. The Red Sox come out of the All-Star break against the team they defeated in the World Series last year, the team with the best record in baseball, in the Dodgers. They are sending their ace to the mound with a fresh start to the second half of the season. And remember, the whole plan with Sale, the whole plan was that he would be better down the stretch. Does the second half constitute the stretch, or are we talking purely August and September? Like, is it wrong for me to look at the second half and say, okay, here you go, you're fighting for a playoff spot now, games are important, is that wrong for me to look at that as a big game Saturday night?
No, not at all. No, this constitutes as the stretch. Anything post-All-Star game is, to me, I think, the stretch.
And you know what happened? Like, all that stuff that the Red Sox allegedly put in the piggy bank with Chris Sale for later in the year, they start the second half of the season, you know what Sale does? The same thing he's been doing all year long, which to me raises an interesting question and sort of dynamic with Sale. Sale is great at beating himself up, man. He is. He's good at it. And he, to the point where, like, well, I like that. No excuses. He makes no excuses. You heard him there at the end of the cut that Jimmy Stewart just played. I'm a liability. And you know what? He's right. He is. He's a liability, and so the Red Sox, we all sit here and we say, Sale is too good of a pitcher to continue like this. He's too good. But my question is, what if it keeps going the way it's going? How are the Red Sox going to overcome that? Murray, let me ask you a simple question. Do you like Sale?
Yeah.
Jimmy Stewart, do you like Sale?
I love him.
Okay, so do I. I like him a lot.
Doesn't sound like it.
No, I do. I like his sort of personality. I love the makeup, like all of that, based on what we see and what we hear. But at the end of the day, isn't it about getting guys out? Like, I did some thinking about this today. I would rather have a guy who makes excuses but gets people out than a guy who doesn't make excuses and can't get anyone out, or at least not to the level he should. So, and where I get irritated, if this were any other guy, which means to me we shouldn't exclude Chris Sale, why are we looking at the contract as a factor in all this? So you want to blame the Red Sox for giving him the money? Blame the Red Sox. Fine. How about blaming Chris Sale for not pitching well after he got the contract? You commit $29 million a year to a guy over the next 5 years, you would hope that the guy would approach it with the same level of perfectionism, professionalism, more importantly, intensity, all of that. If this were David Price, we would be kicking the ever-loving crap out of him for taking the money and running, for getting his ring, getting his contract, and then not delivering the results. We would be killing Price if he did that. But it's Chris Sale, and everyone says, well, what do you want him to do? I think he's hurt. So I look at it. I wonder, Sale is killing the Red Sox. Everyone got that? And you want to talk about the bullpen? We can and we will. And I'm not telling you to leave the bullpen off the list. If you want to talk about the number one reason this team is where it is this year, the number one reason, their ace is 3-9, and they have gone 6-13 in the 19 games he has started. If you flip that around, not only are they in the playoffs, they're fighting for the division title. If they are 13-6 instead of 6-13, they are fighting for the division. Instead, right now, they might be the most disappointing team in baseball, and they probably are. Can we stop making excuses for Chris Sale? He's not hurt. He's throwing 96, 97 miles an hour. He got his ring. He got his contract. Where are the results? Where are the results? Stop making excuses for the guy. Holy crap, it blows me away that somehow this guy's become untouchable now. Absolutely blows me away. 6-13 in the 19 games started by Chris Sale. If that happened with Pedro, what would you say? If that happened with Clemens, what would you say? Or Beckett, or Schilling, or Lester when he was eating the fried chicken. If any of those guys at the front of the rotation go 3-9 and the team goes 6-13 and they're 19 games, oh, we are kicking the crap out of them. We are kicking the crap out of them. And I suppose Chris Sale's doing a good job of it himself. But really, how do we know what he's really feeling? Does he go home at the end of the day and say, well, maybe he's just better at playing the media game and the PR game than someone like David Price is? Because you know what? Price has a big contract. Price got his ring and got the burden off his shoulders, got that absolute monkey off his back, and Price has pitched well. Price has pitched well. Sale, but everyone wants to make excuses for Sale. Incredible. We'll open up the phone, 617-779-0985. That's why the Red Sox are where they are. That's why they are where we are. We'll get to Andrew Kashner. We'll get to the base running, to bunt or not to bunt on Sunday night in the game against the Dodgers. We'll take your questions on anything and everything leading right up to Trivia Tuesday at 6:50. Stop making excuses for Chris Sale. Stop it. The guy's not producing. Of all the underachievers on the Red Sox, he might be the biggest one. Worse than Mookie. Matt's in Colorado. Go ahead, Matt.
It's a couple quick points here. First with Jack O'Bradley. I just have no idea how he's still on this team. He reminds me of Mark Bellhorn back in 2004 with all that talent on the team. You have just someone, just a waste of space and a waste of money. I just don't even know how that's not even a name that's in the trade talks.
Matt, what is your biggest gripe with JBJ right now?
First off, he can't hit. I mean, that's obvious. Secondly, I mean, we all talk about his defense skills. How many balls are actually getting hit to him percentagely? How many balls can he catch that other people can't catch? You know, that's such a small percentage.
So, Matt, I'm going to cut you off just because before we – I happen to agree with you that Jackie Bradley is grossly overrated, okay? And I don't know what the obsession with Red Sox fans is with Jackie Bradley, but very simple question for you. Relative to Chris Sale, the bullpen – Mookie Betts, even J.D. Martinez, Alex Cora. Is Jackie Bradley even in the top five reasons why this team is where it is?
No, it's wasteful spending. And we're still paying Manny Ramirez's contract.
Okay, so again, I don't want to go down a different road. I don't even think it's wasteful spending. Sandoval, they're not paying much to Manny. Okay, so don't count that. And Sandoval, you want to throw Sandoval at me at $19 million? Fine, I'll give you Sandoval. The Red Sox still have plenty of money to win. In fact, they had a lot of the same money issues last year. Pedroia was paid last year. Sandoval was paid last year. They still won. They still won. So that's it's not the money. It's not the wasteful spending is a part of it. But honestly, I think the bigger thing with this team this year is the attitude. They started acting like they had all the answers, which is the first thing you should do if you want to get your ass kicked. Celtics taught us that. Act like you have all the answers. It is guaranteed to bite you in the ass. Nate's in a car. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Tony. So I think specifically for Chris Sale, you know, he's playing the mental game with himself. So he's saying he sucks. He's saying he doesn't, you know how to play right now. But I think for him, if he changes his mindset to go positive and think, you know, like he did last year, I think that'll be a big difference for him and change the way he's going about it. Because I think he's going into every game, you know, kind of like how last year David Price was, where he just goes out and, like, he already lost the game. You know, I feel like he just needs to switch it up.
So, look, Nate, I don't doubt that is, you know, that you can get into a mental rut. Okay, I of course, no question about it. I mean, you can get buried by that sort of thing. I just wonder, does it bother him as much as it used to? Seriously, does it? Or is he another guy that just says, you know, man, the second half will come, I'll turn it on, we'll be good, maybe that's what he expected. And then he went out there on Saturday night and gets snapped around. I feel like that the whole season has gone like that. They thought that they were going to win by throwing their gloves on the field. That's what they thought was going to happen. And Sale, remember the plan. The whole plan with Sale is we need to save him so he can be better down the stretch. He's 19 starts in. When does the stretch start? Because I think it started. And frankly, he's cutting this team out at the knees. So the contract, giving him the deal, not giving him the deal, totally different issue. A lot of us thought it was crazy at the time. How about this year, pitching this year, which is another reason maybe, by the way, they shouldn't have given him the contract. I can't help but wonder that now. Frank's in Marshfield. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Tony. Off the top, Chris Sale hasn't struck me as that kind of guy, like take the contract, win the championship, and now it's just coasting.
Why hasn't he struck you as that kind of guy?
I don't even know.
Because of what he says.
Ultra competitive and stuff, and the things that he says. But as soon as you said, like, stop making excuses for him, and what if it was Pedro, and what if it was Clemens? Like, I followed the Red Sox back then, and they would have got hammered. And you are I couldn't agree with you more. You are absolutely right. Stop making excuses for him. It's time for him to win the games, like the 2-1 game he was in the other night against the Dodgers. You need to win that game.
So, Frank, and I didn't mean to jump down your throat. You know what the difference is with Sale and Clemens and Pedro? You didn't like those guys because they were more outspoken than Sale is. They used to come out and say things you didn't like. Clemens you thought was stupid, frankly, and you might have been right. Who knows? Pedro? You didn't like the fact that Pedro became a diva and a pain in the ass and that, you know, Pedro would speak his mind and say things sometimes that were controversial. But beyond that, when Pedro struggled, you expected results. So you like Sale better because Sale sits there and tells you what you want to hear after the game, which is, I'm a liability. And you go, yeah, that's right. Okay, good. He disarms you with that, which is smart. It's smart for Sale to say that. But it doesn't change the reality. If I'm John Henry, if I'm Dave Dombrowski, if I'm Alex Cora, even Dana Lavangi, I am pissed at Chris Sale. Dude, what's your problem? Are you as committed as you were in the past? Is your focus there? Are you as motivated? Or did you get your ring and you got your contract and now you're just like everybody else? So again, what people show us on the outside, that's one thing. But on the inside, it'd be human nature to get your ring and get your contract and then back off a little bit. And I wonder if that's what's going on with Sale. 617-779-0985. Jimmy, what did I put down as the second item? Do you remember? Were we going to get to Cashner next?
Base running.
Oh, the base running. Oh, yeah, no. The base running is a way better topic. We'll talk about the absolute ineptitude of the Red Sox base running and give you some interesting numbers on bunting to bunt or not to bunt, which Alex Cora, I think, butchered on Sunday night. We'll get to those when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Have the Sox come. The Sox come. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is he doing? That had to have been some of the worst base running I have ever seen. What was he thinking?
It's time for the Baseball Reporter's base running blunders.
On 3-2, swinging away, chops it to the left side. They get the lead runner at third.
And this is bad baseball. I mean, and this is nothing against Alex or the Red Sox. This is just the modern day game we're playing, and it just does not make any sense.
Bradley Jr. be at third. Dave Roberts bring the infield in, and you have two shots to win the game.
I'm also shocked, though, that Jackie Bradley Jr. goes on this. I mean, this is a ball that you have to have behind you. He's hosed at third base.
When you play bad baseball, you get rewarded with more bad baseball. That's what you saw from Bradley Jr.
Tell you what, the Red Sox have done some stupid things this year. That base running play on Sunday night was up there. Jackie Bradley, two nights in a row. Last night, he ran up Michael Chavis's backside. Chavis stopped at third. Bradley wasn't paying attention, had to go back. They screwed that one up, too. They screwed that one up, too. But the one on Sunday night was worse. So, man on second, nobody out. Alex Cora doesn't bunt. 11th inning. All you got to do is get the guy to third and then sack, fly, you win the game. Wild pitch. Pass ball. Ground ball through the hole. Maybe they pull the infield in. I mean, there's a million things that could have happened. A million. The Red Sox don't punt. We'll get to the metrics on that, the analytics, which say that you shouldn't bunt in that situation, or you should. And honestly, there's conflicting information there. I'll explain in a minute. But that base running mistake, boy, this was John Farrell-esque. Those are the kinds of mistakes they made under Farrell, when they just stopped playing with any sort of attention to detail. Remember early in the year? In Oakland, do you guys remember they were down multiple runs with Mookie Betts on first base? Who's the center fielder for the A's? Ramon Laureano, is that his name? Ramon? He was gunning down everything in his scope in that series. The Red Sox are down in the last inning by multiple runs. Mookie Betts, for some ungodly reason, tried to go first to third, and this happened.
Flares down to center, not deep. That's going to drop in for a base hit. Mookie Betts heading into third is the throw, the tag. He's out.
Oh, my goodness.
Benintendi will race into second base and stop there.
As soon as he's right around second base, then what are you doing? I mean, there's no reason to try to go to third on this ball.
No reason at all. Completely stupid. And Alex Cora said after the game, can't happen. Here we are, July 15th. It is still happening. Red Sox still doing stupid things. They still can't beat good teams. The Rays still can't win. All of the above. Nancy's in Westwood. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi. I just want to say I've been a season ticket holder for about 30 years, and I watch every single game on TV. And before I get into Sale, I just wanted to say something about the overperforming players. So in my list is Vasquez, Devers, Bogut, Price, and Erod.
Okay.
They're all doing awesome, and I don't think there's an answer to that question. So the question of why is someone not doing well, you know, why are they doing well? But do you think that's a good list of the overperforming players?
Yeah, Nancy, I think you pretty much got the main ones. The only other one that some people add, and even I am reluctant to do so, is Brandon Workman. Okay, Workman overall has been good. I hate the walks. I can't stand it, and I know that they would rather walk a guy now than let him hit, which is totally ass backwards to the way it used to be. So it used to be that let him put the ball in play, we'll still get him out 70% of the time. If you walk him, we have no chance to get out. They don't think that way anymore. But your list, I think, was good. It's a good list. To me, it's about five or six guys. James is in a car. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, actually, Nancy just kind of hit on it. It's about... What's fascinating about this team is that they don't look to me like they're that far off from their career average performance player by player, right? I mean, what was amazing about that 2013 team, if you remember, is they all outperformed their career averages that entire year, particularly in the playoffs. You knew the next year was going to fall apart, right? Not only were they going to blow it up, but there was no way they were going to keep up the performance. This team feels like a 95-win team, right, career-wise, if you put it all together. And what are they at, Matt? Like 91, 92 right now on pace?
I think they're less than that. They were 88 at the All-Star break. I mean, they're 1-2 since. So it's got to be less than that. It's 87 wins-ish, thereabouts. You're not getting in with 87 wins in this American League now. It's not going to be good enough. You're out right now. Why would all of a sudden it get you in? You're out. Tom's in Worcester. Well, you know what? Tom actually sit tight. He wants to talk about pace of play. That was my mistake. Ricky's in a car. Go ahead, Ricky.
Yeah, Tony, in regards to Chris Sale, and this is how I look at professional athletes, unless you're Michael Jordan or Pedro or Joe Montana, you get my drift. Don't you think it's fair to say you got to get some form of inconsistency from everybody else that's ever played professional sports? And I don't put Chris Sale in the category of the elites of the elite. So I think it's somewhat unfair to say, you know, he's gotten fat because he signed a big contract or he got his ring. I think it's as simple as that.
So just so Ricky, everything else is a coincidence.
No, I just think you gotta get some form of inconsistency from a professional athlete unless you're one of the all-time greats. Bird never had a bad game. He never had a bad year.
Bird never had a bad game? What, are you kidding me? Of course he did. So again, what you're doing right here, right now, is you're making an excuse for Chris Sale. This guy has been in the top five of the Cy Young voting, I think, every year he's been a starter, except the first. Okay, the first year he was a starter, he finished sixth. In the last 6 years, he has been in the top five of the Cy Young voting all 6 years, every single time. He's finished second, third, fourth, and two-fifths. And the other year, which was his first year as a starter, he finished sixth. He has been one of the top five pitchers in baseball now for 6 years. And you're going to let him go 3-9 and the team go 6-13 and just say it's a bad year? A bad year for this guy? You know what a bad year for Chris Sale would be? 5-5 at this stage, 6-6, 12 decisions, something like that. 3-9. He hasn't won a game at home in over a year. And we're just going to call it a bad year? Inconsistency? That's it? We're not going to factor in the other elements? You don't think that? So why is he immune to all of the things that could affect other players in the year after a championship? Why don't you hold Sale to the same standard? Tell me why. Because what? Because you like him? Because he says the right things after the game? I like him too. The fact of the matter is he's got to get people out. It's that simple. Get people out. If you don't get people out, you're not worth the $29 million. And frankly, I regret signing you to the contract. Steve's in Billerica. Quickly, Steve.
Tony, I'm sorry. Hey, that guy wasn't even trying to pull the ball. Never mind, bunt it. He wasn't even pulling the ball. But with Chris Sale, okay, it's not a head-scratcher. You know, I'm making excuses for him, but his average fastball this year has dropped dramatically.
He threw 97 the other night. He hit 97 the other night.
Yeah, the other night he threw a couple of pitches up there, but at this year, as a whole, he lost his fastball. I mean, you have to be in every ace on every team throws over 95 miles an hour. There's very few that don't. Aces have a fastball.
Chris, it's not the stuff. It's not the stuff. It's not arm strength. I'll put it that way. So stuff and arm strength are a little different, right? He can throw every bit as hard as he did a year ago, or damn near close. What I do know, he can throw hard enough. Stop making excuses for him. Stop. All of you, stop. Inconsistency. He doesn't have his fastball. He's not throwing as hard. So you think he's hurt. Look, I've said a lot of crazy things about the Red Sox and their ownership and management over the years, and a good number of them have been wrong. Does anyone really believe that if he had any significant shoulder injury, that they would have given him 5 years and $145 million? Murray, you want to answer?
Yeah, I think that they probably would.
They would have, because remember, Dave Dombrowski says, well, every pitcher's arm is damaged.
Okay. He had 97 the other night. I'm fascinated that people want to keep making excuses for Sale. Well, he's just having a bad year. The rest of them aren't focused. They can't run from second to third on a ground ball in front of him like Jackie Bradley. But Sale gets carte blanche to do whatever he wants. We don't hold him to any standard.
We like
even
him.
Even though the last time I checked, being the ace of the Red Sox brought a certain amount of accountability with it. And when I say that, I mean criticism. Clemens, Pedro, Schilling, Lester, Beckett, hell, Price. If Price were doing this, you wouldn't accept it. but you didn't like Price because of the stuff he said off the field. So Sale says the stuff off the field that you like, and you'll make excuses for him. You guys are as pathetic as he is on the mound. I like the guy, too. The performance? Garbage. Garbage.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No, I'm trying to make something happen. And, and Seager was right there. The ball is, I think it was right in front of him. So he took off. He knows that. He just had second. And, we got Mookie and Rafi lined up. So just a mistake. And he knows it. He's one of the best base runners we have. And just took off with the early. As soon as he chopped it, he thought that he had a good jump and he was going to be safe at third. And it didn't happen.
That base running play by Bradley Sunday, what a brain lock. What a brain lock. More on that in a second. But first, time for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Rafael Devers versus the Blue Jays this year. You know this because they point it out during the broadcast all the time. Boy, does this team going to hate to see this player come up to the plate. I don't know how many times they play him this year. Devers is hitting .478 with an OPS of almost 1,500 against the Blue Jays. He has 21 RBI. I don't know how many games they have left, but he's going to finish with obviously playing a max of 19 during the season. Better than an RBI per game. He's your guy. I'll take a couple more calls, and then I want to get to that whole bunt play on Sunday night with Bradley and the base running. The base running by Bradley is inept. I mean, there's no way around that. That one is what it is. The other side of that is the Red Sox had a man on second with nobody out in the 11th inning needing one run to score, and they didn't bunt him to third. And there's an analytics element to that, a huge analytics element to that, that really boggles my mind. But quickly, Joe in Bellingham with the obligatory call on the Red Sox bullpen. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Tony. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, the pitching has just been terrible between starting and bullpen. No excuses, like you said, for anybody. But I'm thinking, when is the coaching staff going to be identified as the problem? Is the pitching coach going to become the fall guy?
So, Joe,
fired.
Yeah, so listen, reasonable question. It's a reasonable question. I would tell you, Jimmy, I've locked up. If you could just drop him, please. I would tell you that it's a totally reasonable question. I don't think they should do it yet. I also wouldn't say identified as the problem as much as part of the problem. They took a hands-off approach to spring training. They backed off way too much. They weren't ready to go at the beginning of the year. Okay, we've said that one a lot, but the pitching staff's the number one reason. The ineptitude of the pitching staff is the number one reason this team is where it is if we're talking macro. Micro, Chris Sale in the bullpen, 1-2. You can really put him in any order you want, but Chris Sale's a big one. As for Cora's reason not to bunt, we looked up some of these numbers today, and they get a little complicated, but just work with me. Okay? The data out there now, the analytics, say that if you have a man on second with nobody out, which is what the Red Sox had, your quote-unquote run expectancy is 1.1, meaning you will score 1.1 runs per game for every situation that you have a man on second with nobody out. If you move him to third with one out, that number drops to 0.95 runs per inning. The point being, you will score more if you leave the runner on second base. You will score more runs if you leave the runner on second versus bunting him to third. But you know what the problem is with that data? It doesn't factor in that the Red Sox needed only one run to win the game. And I looked this up earlier. You're only trying to score one. You want to tell me in the second inning you don't want to bunt? Fine. No problem. I get it. You're looking to score two or three to take a big lead, put the game out of reach. makes all the sense in the world. But late in the game, when you need one run, your chances of scoring at all drop from 66% to 61% when you don't bunt the guy over. And our intern, Cam, how about this one? Okay, your chances of scoring once, it is boiled down to even this precise a formula. Your chances of scoring one run, with a man on second and nobody out, 34.5%. But if you get him to third with one out, the quote-unquote productive out, it goes up to 47.8%. The Red Sox ignored this part of it. Like, even the analytics don't defend them for what they did on Sunday night. And the success rate of moving a guy to third, I have to believe, is higher than moving a guy to second, because there's no force play, right? No force play. I mean, mind-boggling to me that you could make those kinds of mistakes on the bases at this stage of the season. Where the hell did I put my pitching matchup of the game? Well, it's going to be over here somewhere. Okay, here we go. A big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Markets, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. We're going to focus on Andrew Cashner tonight, who's making his Red Sox debut. 2-0 with a sub-1 ERA against the Blue Jays this year. Remember, he was with the Orioles, 2-0, 0.69, I think it was. Randall Grichuk, 3-for-14 against him in his career. Freddie Galvis, 3-for-24. Remember, some of these guys were in the National League. Galvis was in the National League, and Cashner began there. Overall, the Blue Jays roster, 168 average, 17-for-101 against Cashner. The numbers, the data, are in is in Cashner's favor tonight over at Fenway Park. Guess what's coming up next? Murray, Jimmy Stewart, anyone want to guess?
Trivia Tuesday.
Coming up next, first five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You'll have the chance to participate. You get three questions right, you'll score a $100 gift card to Bertucci's, the official pizza of baseball fans, and automatically be entered for a three-night stay at the Tamarind Aruba, all-inclusive resort, provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority, travel courtesy of JetBlue. Trivia Tuesday next.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on The Baseball Reporter. This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Mazzarotti.
All right, everybody's favorite time of the week. You never know what stupid answer a Red Sox fan is going to give when you ask them the most basic trivia question, the premise on which this particular segment was built.
It's almost a given, though.
Really? Again, what was the one the other week? My favorite is still the one last year from early on when I said the Red Sox opened Fenway Park against a local college team nicknamed the Crimson. Who was it?
Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Alabama. Exactly right. Alabama. How do you like that? So we'll give it a shot tonight. I'm looking to give away something. Okay, Chris is in Revere. Chris, you ready to go?
I'm ready to go, Tony.
Okay, here you go. We're going to try to soften up the questions and try to give you guys a chance because people keep butchering it so badly. So here you go. Okay, your first question. Andrew Cashner will be making his Red Sox debut tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays at Fenway Park. What team traded Cashner to the Red Sox over the weekend?
Baltimore Orioles.
Baltimore Orioles All right. is correct. All right, there we go. Good job. There, made it a little easier. That one worked. Okay, your second question. Here you go. Mookie Betts won the batting title last year with a 346 average. 346. That was the 15th time a Red Sox player has won the batting title while batting 340 or more. Five other Sox players have done that, meaning they've won a batting title hitting 340 or more. Name two of them.
Tony, you're killing me. How about, let's go with Nomar and Bill Miller.
One out of two. You didn't get them right. That's incorrect. It was close. Close.
All right, thank you.
Yep, we'll let you go. Oops, sorry, I forgot to drop him. There you go.
Oh, he was kind, though.
No, he was. He was polite. Kind of ruins the fun. Mike's in Manchester. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. In the Red Sox 10-8 win over the Toronto Blue Jays last night, this Red Sox player hit his first career grand slam. Name him.
It was Michael Chavis.
Michael Chavis is correct. Good job. There you go. All right, now we're getting somewhere. We're getting a little bit better. Here's your next question. Before Mookie Betts last season, who was the last Red Sox player to win the MVP award?
Dustin Pedroia.
Dustin Pedroia is correct. Nice. Good job. Good job. I asked that one in the studio earlier today, and nobody got it right.
Right.
Okay, last one. Do you want a Red Sox question or a non-Red Sox question?
Let's go non-Red Sox.
Okay, non-Red Sox. Okay, now listen closely. When Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's all-time home run record in 1974, and when Pete Rose broke Ty Cobb's all-time hits record in 1985, the same man was playing first base for the opposing team. Who was he? It's a toughie.
Oh.
I'll give you one hint. In 85, he was playing for San Diego.
I don't know.
Okay, gotta let him go, Jimmy. That's a hard one. That's a hard one, but the third one's supposed to be hard. What do you want me to make it easier for you again? That sort of ruins the fun. The sense of achievement comes from doing something difficult. Sully's in Charlestown. Sully, how you doing?
I'm ready to go to Aruba, Tony.
Yeah, I know. Let's go, brother. If you can bring a person, I'm with you. How far is the pitching rubber from home plate?
You gave me this one last time.
No, I didn't.
It's 90 feet.
That's what I just said off the air.
Sully must have been the guy I asked about the height of the mound.
Oh, okay.
Right? This one was, how far is the mound from home plate? 90 feet. That'd be a hell of a pitch. Joe's in Walpole. Joe, you there?
I'm here, Tony.
All right, here we go. You ready?
I'm ready, buddy.
Okay. How far apart are the bases?
Ninety feet
is correct. Good job. There you go. All right, we got something right here. Here we go. All right, Joe, you move on to the second question. You ready?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. How many days, listen closely, how many days did the Red Sox spend out of first place last year? Was it 2 days, 12 days, or 22 days? One of those three. That they
it
were
was
not
2 days.
2 days is incorrect. I like the groan. The groan's always pretty good. We're getting better. We're getting more competitive, though, Murray.
Yeah.
They've softened actually, up the questions
good,
a little.
It's a pretty good show.
No. Pretty good showing, you mean.
Showing, yes.
Yeah. Showing. There you go. John's in California, our final caller of the night. John, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How many games did the Red Sox win last year in the regular season?
108
is correct. Good job. See, like week one, somebody got that wrong. Right. That should really be a layup. I'm going to toughen it up on you a little bit because you sound reasonably intelligent, John.
Uh-oh.
Unlike many of our prior callers, you sound like you have a clue. Xander Bogaerts speaks four languages. Name three of them.
Oh, English.
Yep.
French.
No, French is incorrect. No. Why would you guess French?
Because that's how he likes to kiss.
I mean, Bogaerts kind of, I guess. French is not what I would have guessed second. I'd have guessed something else second. In any case, thanks for playing. We'll have it again for you next week. We still haven't given away a $100 gift card to Bertucci's or entered anyone in the drawing. I think, you know what, I got to make him even easier.
No, I think this was generally competitive today. You had a guy almost get it. I think you keep it at this level. Yeah, that see, last Jimmy agrees.
Jimmy, you agree? I like it better when Jimmy doesn't talk. This is good. Simple. Apparently he agrees. It's a simple yes or no formula.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.